We welcome you on this Palm Sunday. Lisa Weatherman's Our choral call to worship this morning is in your bulletin and perhaps also on the screen. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Sing it again. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, welcome in this place. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that on this Palm Sunday we can gather together and worship and praise you. We thank you, Lord, not only that you were born in the Bethlehem manger, but we thank you also that on this Palm Sunday you went into Jerusalem knowing that a cross lay ahead, but also knowing that beyond the tomb was the resurrection. Remind us, Lord, in the spring season, that as we see new life all around us, that you came and you saw and you conquered, that we might have eternal life. And meet with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is an appropriate Palm Sunday hymn. We don't sing it very often, but it works today. Shall we stand together as we sing Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, 278 in the hymnal and also on the screen. Let's unite our hearts and voices in this historic confession of our Christian faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Seated. We have a very special privilege this morning on this Palm Sunday when Jesus said, "Allow the children to come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." This morning we have the opportunity to baptize Ellie Mae Newman. And I'd like to ask if Brittany and Ellie Mae and family would like to come up. And friends, now folks, we do not have, traditionally we don't have, private baptisms in the Methodist Church because this is a family affair. We sing that song that says, "I am so glad that I'm part of the family of God." So if any of you would like to come up here and join your brothers and sisters in this very special time, you're invited to come up too. We're all family. Y'all come. They won't listen to me, you tell them. In your worship folder, you have a pink insert. I invite you to take that now. And join with us in the appropriate spots. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Now, Mom, I've got some questions for you here. And I'll even help you out. I'll tell you how to answer, okay? We got a cheat sheet here. On behalf of the whole church now, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do. Do you accept God's gift of freedom and power to resist injustice, evil, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as Lord in union with the church, which He opens to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture Ellie Mae in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith, and to lead a Christian life? I will. Now, congregation, if you would stand, please. This is your part. Those of you up here and those of you way back there. Okay? Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Very good. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include Ellie Mae Newman in your care?
We will.
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Ellie Mae with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her trust of God and be found faithful in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple and walk in the way that leads to life. Now, the water that we have in the baptistry now comes from Rockwood, Tennessee, where Ellie Mae is growing up and where she's going to increase in wisdom and in stature. Let me add a little something to it. It's nothing special, nothing magical, except for the fact that here we have some water from Mary's well at Nazareth, where Jesus partook as a child, from the Jordan River, where Jesus was baptized, and also a little bit more from Rockwood. Ellie Mae, are you ready for this? You gonna come to me? Sure. Come on. We're buds, huh? Oops. Okay. Hello. You gonna look at me? Hey. Okay. Now, this is a special moment. Ellie Mae, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now may God fill you with His Spirit, surround you with His love, day by day show you how very special you are as you work to build God's kingdom and share His love with others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Yay.
Good job. Okay. Thank you. Congratulations, Mom. Yep. Thank you. She did well. I've had all kinds of responses from children and from adults. All right. We'll be talking some more about the children in just a little bit. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share? Uh-oh. All right, new granddaughter for Keith. Congratulations. Probably a new granddaughter for Bamba, too. Tell her we said congratulations. Yes. Any others? You don't have to try to compete with this. Just any joys and concerns at all. We do want to remember the folks in Europe and Ukraine. We cannot begin to believe what they are going through there. You know, we think that we're suffering if the power goes out for half an hour on Friday night. Imagine if your power had been out for over a month in the dead of winter. Imagine if there are no stores left to have any food or water or the necessities of life. We need to lift those people up in our prayers today. We also need to pray for Vladimir Putin. Even he is not beyond God's reach. But again, it takes two. God already says, here I am. And we need for God's Spirit to touch his heart as well, especially at this time. Pray for our politicians. Please pray for our politicians. All of them, both sides of the aisle, I'm not being political here. Pray that God would guide and direct them. They're supposed to be leading our nation, and our nation is one nation under God. Every one of those millions of dollars they have in their pockets up there say, "In God we trust." So do be praying for them. Any others? Our prayer chorus this morning says, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free." It's in your worship folder. Let's prepare our hearts for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank and praise you. Remind us, Lord, that we can't really pray like we should until we can praise. Help us, Lord, that we might realize how blessed we are. Oh, our nation and our world has its problems, but there's not another place on the face of this globe where I'd rather be. We pray, Lord, that you'd help each one of us that we might do our part to make America all that you would have it to be, so we could be more effective in building your kingdom. We pray that you would be with our leaders, elected and appointed, whoever they may be, local, state, national, world. God, we pray that you'd slap them up in the back of the head and remind them that they've got a bigger job to do than to just fill their pockets. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with the folks in Ukraine this morning. Oh, they are suffering so much. So many have lost family and loved ones, pets. So many have lost their homes, lost their jobs, lost every bit of security they may have had before. We pray, Lord, that you would be with them and bless them. Bless those who are fighting for their freedom. Watch over them, Lord, and keep them safe. We pray today that you'd be with those Russian soldiers and all of their leaders, Lord. Remind them that these are their brothers and sisters that they're showing these atrocities toward. We pray that you would touch their hearts, Lord, and give them a divine compassion that can only come from you. We pray today, Lord, that you'd be with our troops and with their families. Be with them, Lord, as they're separated, often by thousands of miles. We pray that during this Holy Week season, they might feel your presence. They might be able to sing in their hearts, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." Thank you, Lord. Thank you for caring so much for each one of us. We pray that you'd be with our church family, Lord. You know those that need your healing touch. We just pray that as a great physician, you'd be very close to each one of them. Touch them, Lord. Lift them up. Encourage their hearts. Be with our families and neighbors who are going through times of grief. Grief over lost loved ones. Grief over lost health. grief over lost youth, grief over lost finances and security and jobs. Help us, Lord. Remind us at any time we're feeling grief that you're there to lift us and sustain us. Meet with us now, Lord. We thank and praise you for the way that you have blessed Rockwood United Methodist Church down through the years. Lord, this is not our church. This is your church. And remind us that you promised that even the gates of hell could not prevail against your church. Help us that we might want to be involved in everything we can be involved in to build your church and build your kingdom. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Again, let me remind you that the offering containers are at the doors. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Please remember the work of the church goes on, and we depend so much on each one of you. As we prepare our hearts for the offering and for giving, wanted to share a song with you. The song was originally written by Gordon Jensen back in 1972. You probably know the song. It's Jesus Will Outshine Them All. Well, back in 1996, your pastor took the liberty of changing the lyrics to the song to make it another appropriate song for this Holy Week. Allow God to speak to your heart, listen to the message, not the messenger.
The disciples were not able, sitting at the Lord's table, to comprehend the depth of the love in his heart. He would suffer, he would bleed and die, sin's price to fully satisfy, and soon from them he would depart. He said, one will betray me, my enemies, they will slay me, but fear not, for I will rise again. Though you're now filled with doubt, fears within and fears without, I will empower you to be fishers of men. The disciples, they were not able, sitting there at the Lord's table, to comprehend the depth of the love in his heart. He would suffer, he would bleed and die, sin's price to fully satisfy, and soon from them he would depart. Gathered in that upper room, beneath the cloud of gloom, they questioned who would do this and why. Then to Jesus, each one turning, their hearts within them burning, one by one they asked, Master, is it I? The disciples were not able, sitting at the Lord's table,
to comprehend the depth of the love in His heart. He would suffer, He would bleed and die, sin's price to fully satisfy, and soon from them He would depart. Oh, yes, soon from them He would depart. He would rise again and then would depart. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Remain standing, if you would, please, for the reading of the Gospel.
Today's scripture is Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. One day, some parents brought their little children to Jesus so He could touch them and bless them. But the disciples told them not to bother Him. Then Jesus called for the children and said to the disciples, "Let the children come to Me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as thee. I assure you, anyone who doesn't have their kind of faith will never get into the kingdom of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I think we've probably got at least two or three people here this morning who have watched the Andy Griffith Show. We probably watched a few hundred of the reruns, too. Let's think a moment this morning about Barney Fife. You remember how Barney becomes so overinflated with himself because he is the deputy sheriff of Mayberry. He tries to keep everyone and everything under control at all times. He flashes his badge, and sometimes he even flashes his gun, even though the only bullet that he's got is still in his pocket. Well, where in the world is he going with this? Barney trying to make sure that everybody obeys the letter of the law. In Luke 18, we see this is probably exactly the same thing that the disciples were doing. After all, they were on the Messiah's team. And they perceived that it was their job to keep everything and everyone in order. And here a bunch of parents brought their whiny, squirmy children to Jesus. The disciples figured that Jesus had more important grown-up things to do. Jesus knew what was going on, and He told the disciples to let the children come to Him. He realized that within children, there are the untapped qualities of genuineness, dependence, trust, openness, affection, curiosity, energy, enthusiasm, joy, and wonder. A group of four-year-olds was in children's church. The teacher asked them, "Who can tell me what today is?" little girl raised her hand and she says, "Today is Palm Sunday." That's right. Do you know what next Sunday is? Next Sunday's Easter. Do you know what Easter means? Confidently, the four-year-old replied, "Next Sunday is Easter because Jesus came out of the grave." Before the teacher could even congratulate her for being so right, the girl continued, "But if Jesus sees his shadow, he has to go back in for 6 weeks." Oh, my. Children show us how to be a part of God's kingdom. And on that first Palm Sunday, that was kind of what it was all about, was the children. You remember Art Linkletter? He said that kids, now y'all are going to leave here and say the preacher was cussing from the pulpit. He said that kids say the darndest things. And they still do, don't they? Let me share a few notes that were sent to God from kids. Sherry said, "My dad can never get a fire started in the grill. Could you please make a burning bush in our yard?" Sam, "I want to be like my dad when I get big, but without so much hair all over." Nan, "The man and the woman in the next apartment fight real loud all the time. You should only let good friends get married." Ward, "Where did all the people in the world come from? I hope you can explain it better than my father did." Mark was evidently from East Tennessee. "I keep waiting for spring, but it never came. Don't forget." Neil, "I went to a wedding and they kissed in church. Is that okay?" I'm here to tell you that's probably a whole lot better than some of the things I've seen people doing in church. Ruth, "I think the stapler is your greatest invention." Joyce, "Thank you for my baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy." Chris has got a lot to learn. He says, "I would like to live 900 years like that guy in the Bible." That doesn't do a thing for me. Anyway, Donna, her note said, "In school, we read that Thomas Edison made light. But in Sunday school, they said you did. I bet Tom stole your idea." Today, we have become way too suave and sophisticated and educated. We've lost the mystery and the magic of childhood. I think sometimes, and I believe this is what Jesus was alluding to, I think sometimes children have an inside grasp on what the kingdom of God is all about. A hospital chaplain kept a journal over the years of some 89 patients who had NDEs. Now, an NDE is a near-death experience. Most of them would talk about a light and would talk about a feeling of peace. One particular patient's experience stuck with the chaplain, perhaps more than the others. He also pastored a church, and one Sunday morning he had the opportunity to baptize a 7-week-old baby. The next day, the mother was feeding the baby, And suddenly the baby went limp in her arms. The baby was not breathing. There was no pulse. The woman screamed for her husband. They called an ambulance and began CPR. At the hospital, the doctors finally got her breathing again. They kept the baby overnight for observation. The next day, she went home. That family did not attend church. They did not talk about the Bible or Jesus. They never mentioned this incident to their daughter because they knew that she wouldn't understand and they did not want to traumatize her. 4 years later, one day the mother was driving down the street with her four-year-old daughter in the back seat, in the car seat. And a little girl said something that made the mother pull over at the curb and stop and turn around and say, "What did you just say?" The little girl pointed at the hospital they were passing, and she said, "That's where Jesus came and got me and brought me back." Now, can a four-year-old remember something that happened when she was only 7 weeks old? I don't know. But one thing I do know is that family attends church every Sunday now. A child shall lead them. There are three things that Jesus knows and that we need to learn about children. First of all, children know how to celebrate life. One child was praying at bedtime and she said, "If I should wake before I die." Well, that's probably a good thought for the church too, because very often we're asleep in indifference. We've just kind of gotten in a rut. And someone said the only difference between a rut and a grave is the rut has open ends. Romans 13:11 said, "This is all the more urgent for you to know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Notice the progression in today's scripture that Catherine read to us. The children appeared. The disciples stopped them. Jesus called for the children to come to him. He took them in his arms and blessed them. And then he told the crowd and the disciples, that included the administrative council and the pastor parish relations committee and the trustees and the finance committee and all of the others. Jesus told them that in order to get into God's kingdom, they had to become like children. Now, point of reference here, especially for so many church folk, Jesus said we need to become childlike, not childish. Okay? And I'm sure you have too, but over the years I have seen many times when at least on the inside, church people would lay on the floor and kick and scream and holler and hold their breath because they didn't paint the restrooms the right color. Because that old broken down sofa that they took out of grandma's house and put in the church parlor was thrown out when they got a new one. Or because the choir didn't sing the right song. Or because the preacher, believe it or not, I've had both of these happen to me. I had one church where they complained because I didn't preach long enough. I've had other churches, yeah, a few, where they complain because I preach too long. I've had churches complain because I even used humor in my sermons. Well, let me tell you where I learned that. You see, here we are, pardon me for mentioning it, but just a week and a half, not even a week and a half, away from income tax day. The disciples came to Jesus one day, and it was almost time to pay their taxes, and they said, "We don't have any money to pay our taxes." Jesus said, "Okay, here's what you do. Go down to the lake, throw in your line, the first fish you catch, open up its mouth, and the money will be in there." Jesus, you're kidding us again, aren't you? You're not? Okay. But it's amazing to me. One time up in Wisconsin, I was teaching a senior adult Sunday school class. And I made the mistake of asking them the question, "Does God have a sense of humor?" Had an elderly gentleman in the class there. He was 80 plus. Had snow white hair, had a little white mustache. And he says, "Of course God has a sense of humor. Haven't you ever looked at the back end of a baboon?" I should have known better than to ask with him in the class, but I didn't, and I did, and there we go. But going from the scripture this morning that Catherine just read to us about the children, the very next verse talks about the rich young ruler. Now, here's a man who is a former child. He used to be one. And now he's educated. He's sophisticated. He has everything the world considers necessary to be successful. But he's still looking for something to make life worthwhile. He still feels empty. He's hungry for something more. The scripture tells us, as we read on, that he went away sorrowing because he was too set in his ways. He was too cynical, too skeptical, too proud, too image conscious, too adult. Imagine if we had a group of children down here in the front. "Kids, I got some questions I need to ask you. How many of you like to dance? How many of you like to sing? How many of you like to paint?" Probably every single one of them raised their hand. Do you think they all know how to dance and sing and paint? Or is it that they know how to enjoy it, whether they can do them well or not? You don't think your preacher sings because he thinks he can sing. I just haven't grown up enough yet to realize that I'm not professional, and you have to be professional before you sing in church. We've allowed ourselves to grow out of celebrating every moment of every day. We've gotten to the point where we can no longer rejoice in butterflies and dandelions. Yeah, it's almost time to quit. How many of y'all used to like dandelions? Yeah, used to. Now we pull them or kill them or do whatever it takes. Now, my parents really liked them. My mother would cook dandelion greens all the time. They came up to visit me in Wisconsin one time, and while they were up there, my folks lived in Central Florida, and while they were up there, we went out to some yard sales. And every house we stopped at, they don't have dandelions that much in Florida. The dandelions knew enough to get out of there. But anyway, they don't have them that much in Florida. We had them in New England. But so we were going around yard selling, and every house we'd come to, my dad would go up to the people that owned the house and say, "Do you mind if I dig up some of your dandelions?" "Well, yeah, go ahead, take all you want." But we've lost that ability to be able to enjoy So many of the blessings of life. Secondly, children have a gift of amazement. A woman had a heart attack. Ambulance took her to the hospital. The doctors worked on her and finally got her stabilized. Then her heart stopped again. She found herself standing at the pearly gates. God was there. And God said, "It's not your time yet." The woman asked him, she said, "Well, how much time do I have?" And God said, 40 years. The woman regained consciousness in the hospital and remembered her heavenly encounter. She decided that as long as she had 40 years left, she was going to get a complete makeover. With all of the implants and tucks and cosmetic procedures possible. 2 weeks later, she was released from the hospital. And as she was crossing the street in front of the hospital, she got run over by a bus. She again found herself at the pearly gates, and God was there. And she said, "God, I thought you told me that I had 40 years left." God said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't even recognize you." Well, the good news is, God always recognizes you and me. God knows us even better than we know ourselves. And He loves us still. We need to rekindle our childlike amazement about how real and how close God always is. 11 years ago, I had the opportunity to go back to Massachusetts for a 50th class reunion. 11 years ago for a 50th, that guy's getting old. But anyway, the plane that I took landed in New Haven, Connecticut. Recently, I was reading about a girl that must have been from there, because it told that one night, as she's getting ready for bed, she knelt beside the bed there and was praying the Lord's Prayer. Only it went this way: "Our Father, who art in New Haven, how did you know my name?" She had the words wrong, but she had the theology exactly right. Because it doesn't matter if we're in New Haven, Connecticut, or Rockwood, Tennessee, God is right there with us, and He knows each and every one of us by name. Over in John, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Remember the old hymn that we used to sing, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean." Or we sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Then there's another one we don't sing quite as often. It says, "There's the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder as sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all. Just to think that God loves me." And thirdly, Jesus reminds us that children are able to trust. I heard about a father that picked up his young son one day and put him up on about a 3-foot-high wall. Father stretched out his arms and said, "Jump." The boy jumped and the father dropped his arms. The boy hit the ground. He looked up with tears running down his cheeks, looked up into the stern face of his father, And the Father said, I did that to teach you not to trust anybody. As God's children, we need to know that we have a Heavenly Father that we can always trust. A child was quoting Psalm 23 and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. In a Peanuts comic strip, Charlie Brown and Peppermint Patty were sitting under a tree, and Patty asked, Chuck, what is security? Charlie thought for a minute, and then he said, security is when you've been somewhere with your parents in the car. It is nighttime, and you're asleep in the back seat without a care in the world, because your parents are in the front seat and they take care of everything. Patty replied, oh, Chuck, that sounds wonderful. Then Charlie Brown got a serious look on his face as he said, but it does not last. Suddenly you're grown up and it's over. You never get to sleep peacefully in the back seat again. Peppermint Patty, confronted with the harsh realities of growing up or the trauma that comes from losing the security of childhood, gets a frightened look on her face and says, Chuck, I'm scared. Please hold my hand. The good news is God will hold our hand through every moment of life, in darkness and sorrow and times of strife and through all of the uncertainties. Songwriter had it right when he said, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. Back in the 70s, there was a kind of a not too traditional or liturgical song that we used to sing that said, put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you will look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. We need to learn from the children this morning. Simple, childlike faith. The Lord is our shepherd. And that's all we need. Heavenly Father, thank you. We thank you for children. Remind us, Lord, that every single solitary one of us have been there. Even you were there. Lord, it would have been exciting to see you as a child. To see your childlike amazement in every aspect of the creation of your Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord, that through the infilling and indwelling of your Holy Spirit, we might regain those childlike qualities that will draw us closer to you and closer to each other. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 277. 277, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Let's stand together as we sing. Stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by
the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me. First let me hear how the children stood round his knee, and I would fancy his blessing resting on me. Words full of kindness, deeds full of grace, all in the love light of Jesus' face. Into the city I follow the children's band, waving a branch of the palm tree high in my hand. One of his heralds, yes, I would sing, loudest hosannas, Jesus is King.
Now, contrary to the thing we've heard 100 times as we're growing up, why don't you grow up? This morning, let me urge you to regain that simple childlike faith and trust and amazement, and feel yourself drawn closer into Jesus' presence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.